Now, one of the things that I think this non-forensic doctrine of justification does is it has the advantage of avoiding a very common Protestant trap. You notice how the word righteousness is not a pleasant word. We no longer use it as a good word. When you call someone righteous, you're insulting them. You're calling them self-righteous. How did the word righteous come to mean self-righteous in our day? I think it's because there have been so many Protestants who've been thinking that their goal in life is to become righteous. What a terrible goal. It's as if your whole business in life with God is to be declared righteous. Well, that's not the important thing. The important thing is fellowship with God. The important thing is that union between the soul and God, between the bride and the bridegroom. That's what matters. What we should be wanting is not righteousness, but God. At least I think so, and Luther gets that straight, and I think much of Protestantism doesn't. As if the reason you want to believe in God is so you can be righteous. That's crazy. It's like marrying somebody for their money. The reason you want to love God and have faith in God and be justified is so that you can have God, so that you can have the bridegroom. And then you get all that belongs to the bridegroom, righteousness, holiness, all that other stuff. So, let me run through the most important statement that Luther makes about justification and pick out a few choice morsels from the 1535 lectures on the letter to the Galatians by Paul. So here's Luther's commentary on Paul's letter to the Galatians, where he dwells on the notion of Christ as the form in our hearts. Let's start again with the notion of conscience. Conscience is the awareness of my being before God. It's the deepest part of me, right? If I want to know about my conscience, I can't look at my conscience. I have to look at God, at his law or his gospel. Consciences are either terrified by the law or comforted by the gospel or deaf, and then they're smug, right? Then they just don't know that there's a God out there that's judging them. So now a conscience that is awake will be fundamentally anxious about pleasing God and terrified when it hears the law and its threats. Luther describes this terror as Anfechtung, an assault of the devil. Right? Anfechtung is German for assault, but he uses it to translate the Latin word for temptation. This temptation, however, comes ultimately not from the devil, but from God's law. It's God's law that terrifies us. It kills us spiritually so as to make us alive through the gospel. The law has the purpose of humbling, terrifying us so that the gospel can exalt us and make us alive. The law drives us to the gospel. So the conscience is constantly determined, shaped by what it hears. This is fundamental for Luther, I think. He's always thinking that we are defined by what we hear. Not by what we feel inside, but what we hear from outside. The law, the gospel, that changes everything. And yet, to change our conscience is to change us at the deepest level of the self. So what we hear coming through our ears, law or gospel, changes us at the very deepest level of who we are. It changes the tree so that the tree can then bear good fruit. Right. So here's, I think, what's going on. Luther identifies the conscience with what I've been calling the bottom of the soul. And that's actually a term from German mysticism. Der Grund der Seele, the bottom of the soul. Think of it as the deepest part of ourselves and all the rest of ourselves, including our works and what we do, what we think, what we feel, what we experience. All that is relatively superficial. Experience, feeling. That's superficial. Our conscience, how we hear God, and what we think our status before God is because of what we've heard, that's the deepest level of ourselves. So for Luther, when we hear the gospel and believe it, Christ is present there at the very bottom of our souls and changes everything from the bottom up. The conscience, comforted by the gospel, experiences the deepest palpable transformation of the self from which stems all other changes. But you don't know about it simply by feeling it. You know about it by believing it, on the basis of the gospel. The reason you know Christ is present within you, Luther thinks, is not because you feel him. He's in the darkness of faith. But rather because the gospel tells you. Just as the reason you know that you're married to the divine bridegroom is because he says so. He makes the wedding vow. You don't look at yourself to tell what's going on in your conscience. You listen to the gospel. Now,